This episode is brought to you by Modern Fertility. We're happy to have them on board, making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you. Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride.
If these ovaries could talk, you would say. How do I get the sperm through customs?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
It's not for the gay reason. Just because we stick.
Oh, hi. Here we are.
Oh, hi, Robin.
Pandemic day 7,000.
And 20 billion.
2,100 plus.
Oh, my God. Corona.
I know. So, guys, we first have to say before we get started that we're in our makeshift studio, which is me with some blankets up in the bottom bunk of my daughter's bed and these new USB mics that we bought.
And I'm in a house.
Not her house.
I'm in another house. We have moved locations, but that we'll get into that.
So our sound quality is not going to be like our DNR studio sound quality.
And we're not
so
we together.
Hope yeah. We'll hope you'll bear with us as we just want to keep content going because we just think it's really important to have, you know, stories and a place to vent and a place for people to hear content that's not just about coronavirus, although we're about to talk about coronavirus a lot. So,
well, we're going to talk about parenting during the coronavirus and
we're going to talk about our new normal.
Yeah.
Right. So I had this friend who, when I had a baby, it was the first time we ever gave the baby a bath. So it couldn't have been too long. So otherwise, I don't know, we're bad people who didn't bathe our child. But whenever you're allowed to, that's when my friend came over. I was just talking about how all the change and just like what I was trying to figure out. And she said, Robin, this is your new normal. That stuck with me forever. And I think we talked about that one other time. But, you know, in our phases of parenting episodes where Jamie and I just talk, new normals are usually what we're talking about. And right now we're in a new normal, like a pandemic new normal.
Yeah.
Like we're all stuck at home and we've become teachers and we've become, I saw some video of somebody like we're now cafeteria staff. We're now janitors. We're everything.
Yeah.
And many of us are still trying to work other jobs at the same time. So
A lot. That's the hard part. Yeah. I had that new normal moment as a new parent too. Rose was born December 18th. So our first holiday where we were just both alone together with this new baby, this newborn, it was New Year's. And we're sitting on the couch and we waited till 12, or we must not have even waited till 12 because
we were seven.
It was probably like seven. We were holding this newborn and we had a bottle of champagne. So we opened it and we poured a glass, but we didn't even really drink it. We just sat there and we looked at each other and we were like, oh my God.
What are we doing?
This is what this is. Holy shit.
Like,
is
our life now.
Such this moment of fuck. This is it. This is the it's different. It's so different.
And that's what's happened for us now is like, and I think we should probably just talk about both our situations, but like we're all, and this is everyone, we're all in this new normal of like our kids aren't at school and what does that mean? So Jamie, tell us about the Kelton Woods, what's going on at your family.
Oh my God, Robin. So there's been some events. So my work, you know, my dance job, National Dance Institute, they emailed us last Thursday night or Thursday at like 5 and said, you know what? We're done. Nobody is commuting to schools anymore because we go into different schools, a different school every day. So we're all over the public transportation and many teachers teach in multiple schools in a day. So they just emailed even before the school, public schools had said school was canceled. They said, you know what? Forget it. We're not doing it anymore. So that was my last day. And then Anne's last day, she had to go in the Monday after the schools closed and hand out laptops to kids who needed them for homeschooling. And then that was her last day in school. And so we've been home. And oh my God.
Well, let me talk about your house. Like you alluded to it.
It's a lot. So we also have been in the process of selling our apartment and buying a new place for the past, well, how long? 6 months at least.
6 months easily.
And our apartment has sold a while ago. It just hasn't closed yet. And now all of a sudden, when we're in this first week of our, you know, homeschooling and all the stuff that we will get into, all the schedules we made and all that stuff, all of a sudden the buyer was like, I want to close. We need to close. We need, so our realtors call, all this stuff starts happening, and we're in this like weird place where we don't know what the hell is happening with the world, if we're going to be able to go out of the house soon. Like,
and you haven't closed on the other end, so you don't know. You
haven't closed on the new
apartment. You don't have a place to move into.
Exactly. And then Anne has a cousin who spends her winters in Florida, and she offered us her apartment in Long Island during That's this incredible. Whole thing. Right. So we were like, well, okay, then we can leave and close on our place. But it's all like, this is crazy because we don't have a place to go if our place, I don't know, but we decided.
If your place doesn't sell, if you don't get the new place, right.
Right. So we have movers scheduled to come tomorrow to move all of our stuff out of our apartment and into a storage facility, which was always the plan because there was always going to be like
a weird window
of time when we wouldn't have a place. And now we're here on Long Island.
You live on Long Island now.
In this house that has upstairs, downstairs, and a basement and a backyard. Which
it's
is
like, that's like, by the way, a whole new set of challenges with a kid that's not two.
Exactly. Now we're dealing with stairs and I mean, we're so lucky to have this, so I don't want to downplay it. And we are, thank you, Cousin Kathy. Thank you, Cousin
you
Kathy.
You are seriously living the dream. Like, I keep walking around this house, and we're fortunate to have a three-bedroom in New York, which is like, you know, like our kids each have a bedroom, their space. But we keep walking around being like, oh, God, I wish I had an upstate house. Or I keep reading about rich people who are on planes and they're like flying down to their place. Like they're hiring private jets to take them to their summer villas. And I'm like, oh, I hate
That's
you.
That's crazy. Well, we kind of just
I want a summer villa.
We got in our car. We packed that car up so tight. I can't even. There was stuff on top of our children. There was stuff on top of me. We packed because we had to bring toys for the kids.
I saw that video and you couldn't even see Orion in the video, which was amazing.
No, and we had a dog to fit in that car too. So like, oh my God. So we packed it up. We're here. We have what we need. I hope. We were like, oh my God, do we need to bring summer clothes? What if this lasts that long?
Yeah.
It's all up in the air. We don't know if these movers are even going to be able to get into our apartment to move the stuff out. We don't know if this guy who bought the place is actually really going to be able to move in. Like this is all. Yeah. But then there's also
need him to close. Who cares if he can move in? That's on him.
Right.
You just need him to close.
There's just all this legal stuff too now that we just don't know. The whole world is up in the air right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you keep trying to go on in a normal way. And, you know,
there's new normal.
There's no way to know what the normal is though. That's the new normal. We don't know what's happening from minute to minute with this virus.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well,
tell us about you, Robin.
In our house, Mary, my wife, works in Broadway advertising. As everybody knows, they closed Broadway down. And,
oh my God.
And Mary has been very like, you know, I'm probably not going to have work. And I was just like, we had a whole conversation. We've had several conversations about this since it all happened, where I was just like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. And I think what I realized in hindsight was that I was just too scared, so I couldn't think about it.
Yeah.
So I just was like, it's not going to happen. But also because there's nothing – this is part of this whole pandemic experience is there's nothing to be done about anything.
No.
So it's just kind of like you just have to – like there's no point in worrying about losing jobs because there's nothing to be done. You can't do anything about it. So to me, I'm kind of like, let's just deal with that if it happens. So sure enough, come Thursday, she didn't lose her job, but she got furloughed. It's a little tricky because I gave up my day job in December to work full time on the podcast to try to see if we could make a go of this thing, you know, because we have the book coming out and we have all these possible opportunities that keep presenting themselves. And so Jamie and I decided, and I decided with Mary, like we're going to do this. And then Jamie and I are going to like really just try to build this thing up. Well, and so now, you know, we don't have any income coming in for 90 days. So what's hilarious about all this is that I'm laughing because I am a little panicked, but I've never slept better and I don't understand it at all.
It's weird.
It's the weirdest thing ever. Maybe it's because I'm just like, there's nothing I could do about it. It is what it is, you know.
It's out of your hands.
But I'm very thankful that like Cuomo's being so aggressive and doing things like that 90-day no mortgage payment. I was like, I couldn't get on the phone with Wells Fargo fast enough.
Yeah.
Which by the way, if we have any New York listeners who are affected or impacted, I didn't understand, call your lender. Like, that's one thing I learned. My sister works in the mortgage industry and she called me and I was like, no, I was like, there's going to be some application online. And she was like, no, you have to call your lender right now.
This
and
I did. Oh my God.
And I was on the phone for an hour and 10 minutes before I even got a person. So, you know, again, like, it's just trying to be grateful during these times of who knows what's happening. And we're just, you know, Mary's going to do some freelance work and I'll probably end up doing freelance work and we'll figure it all out.
Yeah, you can. Mary's going to find a really cool artistic outlet to make millions of dollars doing.
Sure. Sure.
That's going to happen. Write a children's book right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Illustrate that shit, Mary.
About sitting at home in a pandemic.
Seriously. Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
You remember sex ed?
Where are you going with this?
No, I'm just thinking about how everyone just talks about preventing pregnancy, right? At all costs.
Sure.
And in our community, don't you think it should be how to make a baby at all costs? I mean, seriously, we need to be talking about planning ahead for pregnancy. It is time for some serious fertility education, I think.
That's what modern fertility was created for. True. It's the easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mm-hmm. You can mail it in with a prepaid label, and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. I mean, and this is kind of the perfect time since we're all stuck at home anyway. Why not check on the state of your eggs, yo?
Yeah, that's true. And also, what I love about modern fertility, and you're going to appreciate this too, is the cost. Mm. Traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000, and that's easily over $1,000. But modern fertility, it only costs $159, and you get all the same information. So listen, guys, if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT right now, you can get $20 off your test, even cheaper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And for our folks that have HSA or FSA accounts, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility. So take that test and you'll get insight into how many eggs you have, hormone levels, and any reproductive red flags, which is critical for our community. The results go in depth into what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps.
Yeah, so if you want kids today, or maybe you want them one day, you need information to make the decision that's best for you. So right now, guys, Modern Fertility is offering Ovaries Talk listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
Ooh, that means that your test, and this is for our math challenged people like my wife and also maybe sometimes Jamie.
How dare you.
Your test is going to cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands that it could cost at a doctor's office. Mm. So get your $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
That's modernfertility.com/OCT.
So I don't know how long everybody's schools are closed, but our schools are closed at least through April 20th.
And I think that's going to go to the entire end of the school year.
Yeah, I think that I'm doing the same thing everywhere. I'm just going day by day. So like we created, I know my kids and I know that without structure, everyone just sits on screens. And so we were really adamant about during week one of having a schedule and sticking to it like to the minute. Like we were like, nope, this is recess time. Everybody's required. This is, you know, your downtime. If your homework's not done, then you don't have quiet time. You got to keep working on your schoolwork. So we've been really, really like diligent about that. And I think that helped, but I don't know, man, like 4 more weeks, like I can't get anything done during like the schooling portion of the day.
No, I know. So me too. We've been really, really regimented with our schedule. We wrote out a schedule just like you. We put it on the social. Both of us did. Our schedule was not as pretty as yours because your wife is an artist. So that's, you know, Mary can make our next one. But we were really good that first week of keeping on that schedule. It's really, really important. Our problem is...
By the way, I'm surprised to hear you say that because you're usually so opposed to the rigidity. So I'm surprised to hear you say that. Wait, hold on. Wait, you know what this sound is?
Yeah. Yo.
That's Jamie and I both opening up a beer separately.
Oh my God.
All right, go ahead. But I am surprised to hear you say that.
I go back and forth between the schedule. But for my kids, yes. Oh my God, we need a schedule. And my challenge has been, and it's been very helpful to have this schedule, especially for my six-year-old because she has school and she understands this is this time, this is that time. We're all going out to read. Same thing, same exact thing.
Yep.
There's no choice. No, we're all going outside. My biggest challenge with this whole thing is I have a six-year-old and a two-year-old. And so,
right.
This,
different phases.
Oh my God. This has been so hard because she'll sit. Rose will sit and do her work. Like if it's writing time or if it's, you know, she'll sit and she'll do it. But then yeah, so somebody has to be sitting with her. So we really have to tag team this. We're in that age where both of these kids need us the whole time.
And his is more like daycare. You're having to do daycare.
Exactly. And
that's a lot of work.
He needs 100% constant attention. One of us has to be on him, especially if we're trying to get her to do some work. Yeah. One of us has to be with him, occupying him. And, you know, like we have – the schedule is going for him too. It's the same thing. We have academic time. We have – right? But for him, like if I try to say, let's do some Legos and he doesn't want to, then that's just not fucking happening. Or let's do – you know, I can't fucking guide my two-year-old to – if he wants to go – it's so – it's hard.
Well, and also you don't have the you don't have the positive peer pressure of like in a daycare.
Yeah.
It's like they know everyone goes over here and eats now and everyone goes over here and plays blocks or it's music time, but it's just you. And then the kids are at that age, they're confused by what they can and can't do. They don't know that it's a Monday and it's a school day. He's too young for that.
You know, even going outside, it could just be a nice, easy family walk if we just had the six-year-old and the dog. But with him, we're chasing him. We're chasing him around. We're trying to, you know.
It's not like, funny, but it's funny.
It is so – it's funny. But it's – this has been a serious challenge. And I have found that we're really good at figuring out what Rose should do for all of her time slots because it's much easier to just even find – and we'll get into this – all the resources that have become available even for kids in school, which has been amazing. So it's been really easy to find things that she needs to do to make sure that she's continuing with her curriculum. But for him, he's two. And so I keep looking up sites, you know, toddler creative time, toddler learning, all this, you know, and we got
Play-Doh.
We ordered this one toddler's educational book or whatever. It's fucking, it's a bunch of pictures that he colors and he doesn't even color. He just, you know, so I'm like, what color is that? Is that, can you pick up red for me? Can you find the orange crayon? How many is that? Do you have two? You know, it's a lot of like, fuck, this is tedious and hard.
Mary keeps saying, I am so thankful that we don't have a toddler right now. I mean, like, look, I love that phase. But I mean, I remember when Henry was a toddler, if this was like, because during Sandy, the Hurricane Sandy, Henry was, we had just moved into this apartment and he was a year and a half old and Maxine was 3 and a half. And it was horrible because we couldn't go outside because of trees were falling for a couple of days. And he was waking up at 4:30. So we had to like, and then we couldn't go to the lobby because there was apartments off the lobby. So we just would go in the basement or, you know, maybe by 6 a.m. we would go into the lobby and our downstairs neighbors weren't happy with us. And I was just like, I don't know what I can do. So like, I don't think I could do work if I had a toddler in the house.
Well, so that's where I'm at right now. And that's a big part of the reason why we came here. Because in our little apartment, if I have to go away and like record for an hour, there is not even a place in our tiny apartment to do that. So, you know.
We have pictures of you in Rose's bedroom, like stuffed animals everywhere.
Yeah. And that's like literally, they're right outside that door because there's nowhere else to go. So we're so lucky to be able to come here because at least right now they're out in the backyard.
Yeah.
Which is.
Oh my God, I'd kill for a backyard. Yeah. We went up on the roof last night and just like looked around. But the whole time, like my kids are still young and we're not really supposed to be on the roof. I happen to have a key because I was on the board. But I'm like, keep 5 feet away from the edge. And then
don't touch.
And by the way,
that's another thing I got to talk about.
Oh, don't touch anything. Yes, don't touch anything.
With a two-year-old?
Oh, well, so, forget it. You just have to walk around with PRL, right? I mean, what do you do for that?
Don't touch, don't touch. You should, if I'm like a crazy woman outside in the city getting so much, don't touch it, don't touch it.
Yeah.
And then he won't let me put Purell on his hands. It's like a thing.
Oh,
he
God.
Hates washing his hands. So
from 8 to 9 is like our family recess. So we do, so like whether we take a walk outside or do some kind of like an exercise routine in the apartment. But my daughter is taking it really hard and she just keeps like, and she ends up crying on these walks because we're being so vigilant about the 6 feet and everybody isn't. And runners come flying up behind you like and almost touch you and they're like flopping their sweat on us. And I'm just like, and so I've now started yelling out 6 feet to like people walking by.
You're a crazy lady on the street.
I've become that person. The walks are actually stressing her out.
Well, because you guys are are doing what you're supposed to do. I get stressed out outside too. Anne is not as stressed as I am outside. I get stressed because people come too close. Like, yeah, if you're really trying.
Well, Mary doesn't want to go outside at all. Like, Mary would stay inside forever. Like, she is so crazy. Like, this morning I went down to our building gym and I cleaned everything out the wazoo. I only did the spin bike, and that's all. I walked in. I took a piece of paper with me or a napkin so that I didn't have to touch anything. And then I cleaned everything down then I left. And this morning she said to me, I thought we weren't going to the gym. And I said, I never said that.
Oh my God, Robin, you're brave though. And I'm crazy about going to the gym.
I'm literally like cleaning it down, like soaking the spin bike and not touching anything else. At some point, and nobody was down there. So,
Oh my God.
I know. But this is part of that new normal, is like our fears. For me, none of this was even serious until Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks was my tipping point. Mary's been worried about this for like months. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, it's going to be fine. And then when Tom Hanks got sick, I was like, none of us are safe. And I don't know why. It was just like, if a wealthy, famous, rich person can get it, then that was a tipping point.
Yeah. We're going to know somebody or many people who, this is so scary. My anxiety is through the roof right now. I am the anxious one in this family, and it is rearing its ugly head. My jaw is on lockdown. It hurts so bad. I'm not sleeping, and I'm usually a good sleeper. I am having serious anxiety about this. What happens? And let's go here. What happens if both Anne and I get this and get hospitalized? What happens to our kids? What happens to family? Yeah. What is going to happen?
My son just came in. You want to say hi, Henry?
Hi, Henry.
You want to say hi? No, you have to actually use your voice.
Hi.
Okay.
But now you have to go because I'm talking about a grown-up topic. Okay?
Okay, bye.
I love you. Bye. Okay, good day. Close that door behind you.
Good day.
Good day. Yes.
It just keeps going. It just
never ends. This is it. This is why I can't, like, on Thursday, I think I sent one email between 9 and noon because I would start it and then someone would come over and be like, Mom?
Yeah.
So on this math problem. And I was just like,
I know. I know.
Okay. So
can't get worked
out. All right. So into the fears. So that is Mary's, like, biggest fear. And then when she talks about it, she would spontaneously burst into tears. Mm-hmm. And her and I had like a, you're now in this big fancy house, but we've been in the tiny apartment. We had the whisper fight.
Yeah.
I was like, listen, there is no room for me to be upset because you are so upset. It was like we were having that fight in the kitchen. And, you know, I think both of us, like, I wasn't invalidating her because I wasn't giving her any space to have any feelings because it was making me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then conversely, there was no space for me to have any feelings because she was so upset and distraught. So it was like, we both agreed that we would try to meet each other in the middle, and like, she would be less like catastrophizing and I would be more open to the fact that something's going on for her. And maybe even for me too, it's harder for me to acknowledge that or notice it. To that end, like, I just can't even think about it. I'm just not. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's like, she was like, well, what would happen? Who would take the kids if we were both not? And I was just like, we're not, I don't know. I was like, I know we have some friends here and somebody will take our kids. But I was like,
I don't know, because then they're contaminated. You know what I mean? Like,
I know, but somebody's gonna take your kid. Like, they're not gonna be animals.
Right.
I don't know.
You think?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, that took a dark turn. Well, this is why I can't talk about it, because it's almost like, there's no answer, and you're going to know what happens in that moment. And what I know about us, and this is what I said to her, what I know about us is when something happens, we're both smart people who pull our shit together and handle it. And so that's what I'm trusting. If we get there, let's make some decisions. And I said, this reminds me, and this is a very weird turn, but this reminds me of like when we got a call that Henry could possibly have Downs when I did my second blood work test.
When you were pregnant.
And I had an uncle. Yeah. And I had an uncle who had Downs. So I know exactly what that's like. I took the test, the amnio, on Friday, and we wouldn't know until Monday or Tuesday. We both looked at each other and just said, we're just not going to talk about this, because there's no point in having a conversation about what you're going to do or not going to do. Like, let's just not even talk about it. And that's how I feel about this. Like, there's no more preparing I can do. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing helpful in talking about it. It's only going to stir us up.
Yeah, true. And I think most people are probably doing something similar to that. A good question now is how do you handle your relationship during this time? This is a high stress time. a lot of us are in.
And you're never alone.
Small spaces, and you're not alone. You're trying to school your kids, which you've never done, which maybe some have done, but, you know, we haven't. Like, for instance, Anne and I, after the first night, Anne and I sat down and both looked at each other and we were like, okay, we.
we gotta, I could just see. Okay.
We got to check our triggers. We both have short fuses with each other. And then it's escalating with the kids too now.
Yep.
And that first day even just showed it like crazy. Like the fuses were just going off, 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 off.
Look, the first day in particular was you're trying to set up new systems and everybody's off. It's like that was just a bad day. It was a wash.
It was hard. It was hard. But that night we had a talk. We said, you know, like we're going to have to lengthen these fuses and we're going to have to check them. And we need to hold each other accountable and and be conscious of this because we don't want this to come out on the kids.
Right.
And we don't want the kids to see us fight. You know, we had a couple like quick, you know, the quick fire fights that you have throughout the day. Yeah, we had like a number of them that first day, which is not, you know, it's not okay. So yeah, we had a conversation.
Maybe though there's some kind of like giving yourself a break that happens. Like to me, it's sure. As long as you clean it up.
Well, that's what we practiced. We had a little short fuse thing last night and we both, I went over there and said, Mommy, I want to, I'm still in my angry tone. Mommy, I want to apologize for losing my temper at you, blah, blah, blah. You know, like at least to just model it to the kids so they see it, even if we're just role playing.
Yeah, I was very confused. I was like, is this Rose talking to you or
no,
is this you talking?
And I was like, I talked to you. I was like, I call her Mommy. I just feel like it's really important that they see us apologizing for what they definitely saw go down.
Sure.
It's so funny.
Also, I mean, don't you think it's like, you got to figure out how to get some time to yourself. Like I'm looking at, even though all the days are blending together, we're keeping such structure on the weekdays. I have to tell you, one of my secrets is somebody wakes me up at 5:50 inevitably. And I'm taking baths every morning because one, it's like, I think it's important just to do a routine. Don't make a weird face. I love a bath.
I don't do baths.
But I'm doing it because I can close the door and be alone for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I bring my audiobook in there. I'm listening to The Help and I put it on a stool. I hit play. I'm sitting in the tub and it's like, and they only come in a little bit. And then I'm like, guys, like this is my time. So like you make it through the school day and then the weekend, we kind of took the training wheels off. We normally have limits on games and all kinds of stuff. And we didn't have any limits yesterday. And there was a lot of screens that went on because it was the first weekend day, which I didn't love. And so we're better today. Like they're baking right now and they're doing other stuff, but we're trying to be kind to ourselves and like, you know, breaking up on the rigidity a little bit at the same time while being incredibly structured.
Yeah. Well, it's the weekend now.
I'm recording a podcast right now.
Am I allowed to eat the cake right now? Are we allowed to eat our slice?
You have another parent that's right out in the other room, so go ask her if you're allowed to eat the cake.
I'm asking you.
I'm fine with it if Mommy's fine with it, but go shut the door. And Henry, please don't come back until I'm done. I love you. Close that door. See, yes, you're allowed to eat the cake.
Eat the cake? I mean.
Yeah, you're allowed to eat the cake. Go eat that cake.
No, we've let go for the weekends a little bit too, but our kids, they're so young, they need structure no matter what. So there's that.
Yeah.
And if I let them look at screens all day, I can't even imagine the fucking meltdowns that will happen when they get off those screens. So,
well, I will say that Henry played a lot of Minecraft yesterday and he was building and doing some new server. And at the end of the day, he was just a turd.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and we were saying to him, we were like, you played a lot of screens and you're being nasty. And then he was literally at the other end of the apartment going like this, it's not because of the screens.
It is because of the screens.
I was like, it's 100%. And I just said, okay, we had a free day today. Tomorrow's we're going back to our rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, of your number of hours that you're allowed to be on that desktop because it's too much.
Yeah. With Rose, it's the same thing. If she has too much screen time, she is just a terror.
They just don't want to leave it. They don't want to.
That's why we got rid of YouTube. That's why we told her it went out of business. YouTube is back now. She found it. Now she knows how to go into a browser and type YouTube. So not having the app is not helping us, but now she knows that it's just like a very privileged thing to get to do, but she can't have a lot of screen time. And I think every kid is different with that.
I don't think there's a kid in the world that can be in a coma like that. And I'm for the coma because I think kids are overscheduled in general, but I don't think there's a kid in the world that can be in that coma for too long and is able to shake it off and then all of a sudden be like, well, now I'm going to create my own games. It's like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not. But I will say, Mary keeps talking about, do you remember the movie Life is Beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dark, dark and horribly upsetting movie.
But listen, I've thought about that movie in this time.
Yeah. So she keeps saying that she's doing Life is Beautiful. Like, now I keep saying, like, my problem with this is that you are comparing what's happening to a train to Auschwitz. But okay. But like, I understand in theory what you're saying, which is that, like, it's a dark time. Let's make the most of it. Mm-hmm. And let's, because I keep thinking, and I think this thought a lot about my life sometimes is like, 5 years from now, we're going to be like, when in the world do you get 5 or 6 weeks to just be with your family?
I know.
Like, when do you get that opportunity?
And I'm trying so hard to embrace that.
Yeah. Like, that's why it's like after the walk or activity, we do a meditation every mm-hmm. weekday.
We're doing a meditation too.
Yeah. And I let the kids pick
fun
it.
The 2-year-old. It's so fun. But we're sticking with it. I'm not stopping.
I'm not either. There was like days when it was like I threw one kid out in the middle of it. It was like I was like, get out. And then I was like, this is counterintuitive. Come back.
Yeah, no.
But it's like I let them pick what it is, and like mm-hmm. you know, it's like, so all these things, like, when would we be able to model that? And when would we be able to, like, I didn't know that Maxine has focus troubles with school, like, and he is loving school because he's in control of it with Google Classroom. Mm-hmm. He's loving it, and he's like on it. And all of a sudden, I started checking in really specifically with her on Thursday, and I was like, "Wait a minute, you're behind on like 4 assignments." I was like, "What happened?" And then I started paying more attention and noticed that she was just staring off into space for long periods of time, and I was like, "Oh!" And then I realized, "Oh, that makes sense for her personality." And guess what? When she goes to middle school next year, that could be problematic. So mm-hmm. maybe this is an opportunity to help her get some new habits.
Same here. Like, all these little moments that we would never have. Like, I always wanted to model meditation for my kids.
Me too.
Now we have the opportunity to do it, and we're trying to do it. And, you know, painting with your kids and doing artistic things. And I will cook with them at some point, but it's really frustrating cooking with a 6 and a 2-year-old, but I'm going to do it. I promise. But like, there's all these things now we have the opportunity to do. So that's the beauty of, if you can find beauty in this.
Yeah. I think pandemic. For me, what I need to do is I need to do more of, like, I'm doing the meditation because it's like a good thing to do, not because it's on the schedule. Like, it's like, I need more personal breathing and more like just being, and there's a way to be in a schedule without forcing the schedule. And I, there's moments where I'm doing that and they're few. And then there's most of the time I'm just like forcing and rigid. And so it's like, I'm trying to work on that. And like, that's a life lesson for me.
For
Jamie's
me too.
Pointing your finger at me right now.
I'm actually the same place. Like, when I follow a schedule, Robin, you might not believe it, but I am extremely rigid to it. Like, there is no deviating off the schedule. It is 10 minutes to 12. We have 10 minutes for lunch to be on that table. Like, I don't mess around. And then having to do it with Anne, she's a little more lean, which is interesting that she's a little more lenient with the schedule. And it's not following it as harshly as I am. And I get really upset when we miss a minute, you know?
Yeah, me too.
It's a learning thing. It's a learning thing. And I'm learning to like relax into it a little bit more, which is very hard for me. It's not easy for me to relax into the schedule and like chill with it, which is weird because I'm all about chilling with everything else.
Yeah.
But yeah, my wife is teaching me that, to just kind of relax a bit with the schedule and go where it goes to a certain point. But we are getting so much out of this family time, and the more we can all focus really on enjoying the little moments,
yeah,
and taking a picture, we're trying to photo document everything, we're keeping all of the work Rose does in a special coronavirus folder so we have this to like go back, you know, because she's done some really, and this is another thing that's happened which I wanted to talk about, is all of the people who are stepping up and offering things.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So, you know, like for kids.
Our friend Rosie came back with her show this past weekend. It's like.
Right. Like, people are just stepping up. Artists really are stepping up. I work with a bunch of teaching artists, and they're all doing online dance classes and online story time and all this stuff. Everybody's like, let me just put myself out there and whoever wants to pick it up can pick it up. And then, you know, ABC Mouse offered a free code, which we took them up on. So both our kids are on ABC Mouse now for free for whenever.
Oh, I didn't see that. Send me that code.
I heard that, what's it called? Babbel, the language app, is offering free classes. If I had time, I would be learning French right now, but I don't have time. I don't have any time. But like all these companies, all these people are just stepping up and offering people things. And if you have the opportunity and you have the time to take it, take it. Oh my God, it's amazing. Mo Willems, you know who Mo Willems is.
Yeah.
He is doing
Pigeon live... Driving the Bus, that one, right?
Yeah, Pigeon Drives the Bus. Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus and all the Gerald and Piggy books. My kids love those books. And every day at 1, he's doing a live streaming doodle with Mo.
Oh, that's awesome. And oh, yeah, Rose, it's like a lunchtime thing. I saw that.
It's so amazing. Rose sits there with him and he kind of talks. It's like their version of Mr. Rogers. Literally, that's who he's becoming. And she doodles these drawings. I have to show, I will post pictures of the drawings she doodled. I can't even believe how good they are. Just because he's like sitting there doodling with them. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, Henry spent 3 hours on Friday teaching himself to draw anime characters. Mm-hmm. He was watching YouTube things and I was like, so this is your free time. I was like, do you want to do any FaceTimes with your friends? He's like, no, I'm doing anime. He was like, I do anime now. And I was like, okay. But, you know, there's also some other things that have been going on that I think are really good. Like Peloton has that 90-day free. They have the Peloton app. So you don't have to have the bike, but they have an app where it's basically like getting coaching for free. And for 90 days, you could join for free. And they have like indoor-outdoor walks. They have – so if you have a treadmill, they have like strength training, like HIIT training, cycling if you do happen to have a bike because like my building gym has one. And then also like stretching and yoga and meditation and 90 days for free. I mean, that's amazing.
A lot of these apps are doing it.
Yeah.
Beachbody is doing that too, 90 days for free. Also, my gym that I go to, Sweat 440, they email us HIIT workouts daily and they suspended all our payments too. So they're just emailing us workouts.
Oh, that's awesome.
Go ahead. I don't know if you follow Jenna Wolf, but I do. I've been doing all her workouts because posts Jenna Wolf, you know, who we interviewed, my BFF.
Yeah, badass Jenna Wolf.
My workout buddy, badass Jenna Wolf. She's posting all her workouts she does in her apartment so they can be done anywhere. I've been following her a day behind.
Listen, you get there when you get there.
Well, because I have to see her workout and then I do it the next day.
But also, like, there's been cool things. Like, I did a virtual happy hour with, like, my three of my friends from college. Mm-hmm. There's this cool thing called Netflix Party, which is a Google Chrome extension. And it allows you to – you think you have to have a Netflix account to do it, but it allows you to sync up and watch a movie with your friend virtually. And so then there's, like, chat bar and all that stuff. Like, and I also just think, like, every day – we do our lunch recess and our kids have started this little game of they take their scooters and they try to go around the circle the fastest and they try to beat their personal time. It's forcing kids to use their imagination to create their own things and, you know, coming up with a choice time list. I was like, look at all these things you could do that we don't do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I think we're taking lemons and making lemonade. That's what I think. I mean, there's a lot going on and there's a lot to be scared about, but like there's no good comes from sitting in that space, in my opinion.
Right. And it's a good time to connect with your kids and see, like you said, are they doing well in school really? Are they really like, you know, so there's that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I hope everybody stays safe and well. Jamie and I are just committed to making content for you guys and just keeping this going because we want there to be hope and positivity in the midst of all of this.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll be coming back at you. Maybe we'll bring our wives and our kids into the fold. We'll see. Because we might have to.
we have a bunch of interviews that we had already recorded. So we will have some of those with our makeshift studio intros around it. But like we may do some other ones where it's, I mean, who knows how long we're going to be in the cone. So we might do one where we bring the kids in. We might do one where we bring the wives in. We'd love to hear your thoughts on social media about what you would want to hear from us. Like if there's stuff that you'd want Jamie and I to talk about during this time, let us know and we're happy to oblige.
Yes, please. Please reach out because we need ideas.
We're lonely. We need help. We need you to program our podcast. And let's listen, wash your hands, stay healthy, stay sane, stay 6 feet away. But, you know, like one of our frequent sponsors is BetterHelp, which is online therapy. And if you're in a place and you could afford it, use BetterHelp or something like that, or use crisis lines, whatever you need, make sure you're getting help if you need it, because this is a lot.
I'm not going to lie. My anxiety is so through the roof right now that I have thought about reaching out to my counselor at BetterHelp because we took a hiatus. And I think it's important. I think it's important to talk to someone.
Yeah. And, you know, I keep thinking about this whole thing about like, you know, they always talk about like during times when people are like at home, there's baby booms. Like, let's make an LGBTQ baby boom. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it without the doctors, but
do that.
I don't know. I feel like use modern fertility to check your fertility hormones.
Well, we need to check if the sperm banks are shipping.
Maybe we can bring a doctor in to talk about like fertility during this time. But
actually, we've gotten a lot of people talking about how they've been in fertility treatments and they've had to stop them. They can't go to the doctor, so they're missing cycles, which is really sad and heartbreaking. And I know how hard that is.
I can't even imagine how hard that would be. Like that's when you're on that time and you want to be moving things forward.
Pregnant now. You have to wait another month or however many months. So we see you. We know.
Yeah.
We know how hard that is.
Reach out. Let's keep in touch. Let's keep the conversation going on social. Ovaries Talk on Twitter. Ovaries_talk on Insta. If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook, you can join our community there and you could talk to other listeners. And you can join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk for bonus content.
That's it. You said it all. Good job.
And thank you to our sponsor, Modern Fertility. Thanks for helping us make this show a possibility. We thank you.
Thank you, Modern Fertility. Ooh. My children are both having meltdowns downstairs and my dog is barking like a crazy dog. So with that.
So I think that's a good note. Eggs.
And I hear Anne. Ovaries.
Out.
Out. If our ovaries could talk, they would say. Eggs, ovaries, out.